Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where sales leaders teach you what's working for them and how you can build it yourself.
This episode of the Predictable Revenue Podcast is brought to you by SDR Pods. Learn how we can build you a fully equipped sales development team to execute on personalized, multi-channel prospecting and book you more meetings at predictablerevenue.com/SDR-pods. Salespeople, you put in all this effort grinding away on the phone, slamming out these emails and connecting and sharing content on LinkedIn with your prospects until you finally get it. I'm not talking about the meeting. I'm talking about the referral. But what do you do with it? If you don't have an amazing, great strategy for taking that referral and capitalizing on it, you're missing out on meetings. I'm your host, Sarah Hicks. And this week on the Predictable Revenue Podcast, I'm going to be chatting to an expert about how to win the referral. She is the founder of SAM Sales Consulting, where she supports BDRs in their professional development. She advises a portfolio of Series A to C SaaS companies. She coaches executives, sales teams, and marketing teams. She speaks at events held by some of the biggest names in business and trains organizations on how to use modern tech to drive revenue. Sam McKenna, welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast.
Thank you. I'm tired just even listening to you about all the things that we do.
It's crazy.
Thanks for having me.
It's a crazy world. You're so welcome. I'm so excited to talk to you about this. What an incredible topic to talk about. We talk a lot about how to get that meeting, but what about when you're not speaking to the right person and you shouldn't be trying to get the meeting from that one person? So I'm really, really excited to dive into this with you, Sam. But first, I would love for myself and for our listeners to be able to hear a little bit about you and how you got here.
Sure. I've been in enterprise sales for about 15 years now, which I feels like a million years ago. But I think just like you guys, so many of you guys, I fell into sales. I didn't think this was something I wanted to do. I wasn't 6 years old thinking about being a tech salesperson. And I just fell into it and fell in love with it. So I've been doing it across the board from large organizations like LinkedIn and have been running SAM Sales Consulting for almost 2 years now. And like you said, we work with a bunch of different clients. But if you're looking for really great sales tips, feel free to come and find me on LinkedIn and give me a follow there.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll definitely point people in that direction and make sure it's in the show notes and in the blog post. Okay, well, let's dive into it. First of all, explain it to me like I have no idea what it is. What is a referral?
So there's a ton of different referrals, but one of the ones that I commonly see is where somebody will be introduced to a sales rep. So let's say it's you and I working together, and I might say, hey, Sarah, I think, you know, you should meet Dan. Dan can really take advantage of what you guys have to offer, predictable revenue, and I would love for you guys to be in touch. Now, that's the referral. I have basically stuck my neck out and my reputation. I've put it on the line with Dan, and I've introduced him to you, Sarah, and said, Sarah, hopefully you'll take great care of Dan. That is the referral that we're talking about of the many.
Okay. Absolutely. Well, let's dive into what you should be doing. So let's talk about that exact instance first. So we're talking about somebody, what's your relationship with this person who has gone and made the referral for you?
So you guys are probably in this position all the time where let's say you've had previous clients that move on, or you have existing clients that are like, hey, there's somebody else that should use your services. And then they refer you in, right? But here's what I see. So more often than not, when I make referrals, I see a lack of urgency. So you can see behind me, I really believe in urgency and lighting a fire and moving quickly. But urgency really matters because most people aren't urgent. So when you get a referral, the number one thing you want to think about is responding that same day. I see tons of people who wait 2 days, 3 days. I've seen 11 days. Oh my God, where people don't respond. We're handing you a lead on a silver platter. Respond. And so just think about this, like build this into your sales process. If this, then that. If I'm about to push back from my desk at the end of the night, then I should think, is there anything I've missed today? Have I missed responding to a referral? Really, really easy way you can prioritize this. The next thing that I would say with that is after the urgency, before you even respond, just do a little, we'll go with all the frames, you guys. We'll do a little show me, you know me before you reach out, right? Who is Dan, let's say in this instance? Sarah, I know if I introduce you to Dan, you'd be like, who is Dan? Where does he work? Who does he know? Where does he live? Where has he worked before? What do we know about this guy, right? So that when we respond, we can say, Sam, thank you so much for the referral. Dan, lovely to meet you. I see that you're in San Francisco, by the way, blah, blah, blah about San Francisco. Just show that you've done a little bit above and beyond. Mm-hmm. And then the final thing, and I'll stop talking here, is when you go and respond to that person, the last thing that I want to see you do is send a calendar link. So what I see often is people will say, you know, Sam, thanks for the referral. Dan, great to meet you. No, show me, you know me. Here's a calendar link for you to book time with me. Hello, we're courting them. This is our opportunity to make a great first impression. I would just say, Dan, I'd love to find some time to chat. If you can send over some times that work for you, I'll find a time that works on my side as well and send a calendar invite accordingly. What a great first impression instead of the calendar link.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so it's all about moving quickly. Urgency is key here. And then making that great first impression. Is there a particular kind of channel that you would say is the best to reach out if you've received a referral?
Yeah, I think email is always great. And one thing I would just note too is make sure to BCC that person that referred you. So very standard introduction, right? But again, Sam, thanks for the introduction. Dan, great to meet you. Sam, I'm going to move you to BCC to save your inbox. I think we've all written that 100 times before in our lives. But this just happened this week where I made an introduction. I wasn't moved to BCC. And then I got the 17 different emails about them coordinating schedules. And I was like, you guys, so just move people to BCC. Email is great. Great opportunity to be able to just continue that communication. And then send the calendar link, send your calendar invite out after you get times from the prospect.
Okay, absolutely. That makes sense. Okay, so we've encapsulated what you've got to do when you get that. It's like a peer referral. There are a couple of other types of referrals that I'd love to get your take on. One of those being the cold prospect to cold prospect referral. When you're on the phone, you've gotten in touch with somebody and they're like, I'm not actually the right person. This is the right person. How do you capitalize on that particular referral?
Yeah. So I think an important thing here is when somebody is A, nice enough to pick up the phone, B, really nice to give you the name of the correct person. The next thing I would say is great. I'll reach out to them. By the way, do you mind if I use your name when I reach out? Do you mind if I say that I referred you? Because what I think happens a lot of the time is people will take the person, the right person, and the name of the person that referred them, throw it in the email, and then the person that referred them is like, I really wish you would have asked for my permission first. So just ask for permission. It's totally fine. You can also kind of reverse this by when you get somebody that answers the phone and says, hey, I'm not the right person, and you say, can you tell me who is? You're going to get a lot of people who are gatekeepers and are going to say, no, do your own work, right? Or no, I'd really rather not tell you because I don't want my name associated with it. Mm-hmm. So make sure to say, do you mind sharing with me who the right contact is? I promise not to use your name or even mention where I got the information from, if you'd be so kind to share that with me, right? Okay. A lot of people just want their privacy protected. So go for it and do that. But if you do get permission to use that person's name, if they're like, sure, tell Bill I sent you, put that person's name in the subject line, referred by Sam McKenna, right? Don't bury the lead. The hardest part is getting them to open up the email. So put it front and center and ensure that they do.
Okay. Okay. Makes sense. I like that tip about just letting them know I won't share the information. I promise if you give me that referral, because I agree with you. I think that's the reason that most people don't want to give that information. They're like, oh, Bill can't know that I'm giving cold callers his information. He'll hate me. So that's a really good tactic. Absolutely. I'm going to tell my SDRs as soon as we're off this podcast.
And think about this too. Like when you get the responses over email where somebody says like, hey, I'll pass your information to the right person and they'll reach out if they're interested. Again, same thing that you can say is to say, do you mind sharing this name with me? Or I've actually done some research. Does it happen to be, Bill? Again, if you confirm, promise I won't, I'll be very polite. I won't spam them. It's just good for us to know who the right contact is for our notes. So at least we have our ducks in a row. And sometimes it's just that honesty and transparency gets people to give you the name and then home run. We know who the right person is.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I really like that. Okay, great. Okay. So that is the cold prospect to cold prospect referral. Then there's an even more important, even more valuable type of referral. And that's your existing customer referral to a prospect. Tell me what to do there.
Yeah. So again, same thing. Like, I want you to think about these people that are making referrals for you. Again, they're sticking their neck out. They're putting their reputation on the line. They're doing you the impossible favor of impossible favors. They are giving you a lead on that silver platter. So a couple of things I would think about. Again, urgency is key. Doing that show me, know me, BCCing the existing customer. But then I like to do a couple of other things. So number one, I do a separate note, and you can really do this for any referral, but I do a separate note that says, thank you so much for connecting us. That was so generous of you. Thank you for thinking of us. I really appreciate it. I'm going to run the first call, let you know how it goes, and keep you posted as we go along. Now, after you've had the discovery call, I always love to send a note back to the referral and say, thanks for this. We had a great first call. Unfortunately, it's not quite the right fit, or it's moving in the right direction. We have another call. They're bringing in the team. I like the referral to just know, did they refer you to the right person? Did it go well? And if it went well, share the joy with them, right? Now, if it tends to be a longer sales cycle, if it's going to be an enterprise grade thing that you're working on, again, somewhere in the middle, I just like to say like, hey, we're moving along. Just wanted to keep you posted. And then certainly after it closes, even if it closed lost instead of close won, I would always send a handwritten thank you note and maybe a little gift as well. Somebody, again, has done something really, really nice for you, an opportunity you probably wouldn't have if they just hadn't had the, you know, generous nature of connecting you guys. So treat that really well. And I think taking these parameters to that referral, right, and going through this process with them teaches them, I know how to handle referrals. I'm worthy of these referrals. And for the love of God, can you give me more?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a really great point. Yeah. You're proving to them that they're not going to be wasting their time. They're not going to be embarrassed by making that connection, because that example that you gave at the beginning, you know, they make an intro for you, say over email, and then 11 days later you haven't responded and you're like, they're like,
I'd look really bad here. When I was a VP at a couple companies ago, we had met somebody who was like, I used your company before. I didn't have a great experience, but I'd be willing to give it another shot. I was so excited, even though this wasn't an account in one of my rep's territories. And I sent it to the rep and their VP. And I said, I think if you play your cards right with this prospect, we can win them back. We can get this business. And they both waited 11 days. Like, what kind of impression does that give to the prospect who already said I had a bad experience with you, right? Go get them, Tiger. Show that urgency and that customer service.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh man. Yeah. Well, that brings me to this next topic that I wanted to chat to you about, which is kind of looking at this from the opposite perspective. What are all the biggest mistakes that people are making right now with referrals? And you've touched on a couple of them.
Yeah, totally. So I think, again, one of the things is the Calendly link. So I mean, Calendly is a great company. I'm not disparaging them. But what I think is what happens is there's a place and time for that link. And in the first email just isn't it. So make sure you're courting the people correctly. But think about the Calendly link anyway. There's two risks that we have when we send this link out. Number one, if I'm like, yo, Sarah, great to meet you. Here's my link. And you're like, oh my God, not only am I giving you a bad first impression, but let's say you click on my link. You can't see what I'm doing. You can only see that I'm blocked. So let's say you and a few other people wanted to take a meeting with me. And if you see that I'm blocked and there's no time available, you might do what I've seen plenty of people do, which is book a meeting 2 weeks out. 2 weeks out. We've just extended our sales cycle by 2 weeks. Alternatively, you might be a new rep. You might not be in demand. You might not have a lot of meetings booked. And if I'm a CRO and I click on your link and I see that you're booked twice during the week, I'm going to be like, wow, like, you're really in demand. I can't wait to work with you. Right. So again, I think such an opportunity to just do the right thing there with the referral. The other thing, again, make sure that you've done your homework on that person. When you show up to the call, show that you've done that homework. I listen to a lot of calls during the week. And at the end, when we're going through coaching, I'll say like, what research did you do on these people beforehand? And the rep will spout out tons of research. And I'm like, there was nothing there at the beginning of the call. They have no idea that you did that. Right. So really important that we just communicate that. Tons of calls where I'll get on, even with referrals, right? Where somebody will be like, where are you based? And how long has your company been around? Where did you work before? And I'm like, it's all on my LinkedIn profile. Hello. So again, just making sure that we do that. We display that urgency. We show that, show me, you know me, and we court them. I will say again, just really quick at the end, when that deal comes around, close loss or close one, just the handwritten thank you note alone makes a huge difference. And for you guys that are thinking, well, that's great. How am I going to find their home address? What am I going to do there? You know, it's COVID, everyone's at home, it's creepy. What do I do? Here's just the easiest way to do that and say, thank you so much for the referral again. I have a little something I want to pop in the mail to you. Can you share your mailing address with me? Mailing address is not creepy, as creepy as home address. So just say that, right? Where do you live? I'm standing in your bushes right now. But ask for that. And they'll either give you their corporate address if they're not comfortable, or they'll just be like, screw it. Here's my home address. Go for it. Come and send me something. So really important on those details. I will say one other thing, a really good thing to do after a referral and after a referral has trusted you and it's been a really great experience for them, I would say proactively, could I take a look through your LinkedIn connections? Would you mind if I actually look to find a few other people that you might know that might be great fits for our product? This is the proactive referral. And this is one of the things that I think people do one well and then also wrong. So in terms of doing it wrong, like Sarah, if I come to you and say, hey, do you know anybody that could use SAM sales? You're going to think, well, let me think of who I talked to this week and yesterday and not right now. No one comes to mind, but I'll keep you posted. The right way to do that is for me to say, you've referred us before, your referrals have had great experiences with us, you love us as an existing customer. Can I look and see if you know anybody, who your LinkedIn connections are, and then maybe just send you a few names? Would you mind? And what you're going to do is say, yeah, sure, go for it. Plus, I'm taking the work off of you, right? And I'm proactively taking the reins into my own hands to be like, score. I get to look through Sarah's connections and find 1,700 people that I want her to introduce me to, right? And then get to decide that for myself.
Yeah, I think that's such an important piece, the taking the work off of the prospect with the, yeah, it's the same with the Calendly link. As you said, you're asking them to sift through the times and let alone the fact that it's going to expose stuff about your calendar that you don't want exposed to them. But yeah, it's the worst when people like ask you for a favor, which is what you're doing when you're asking to book a meeting or for a referral or anything. And you go like, okay, yeah. And they go like, okay, what time? And you're like, you asked me. Like
you asked me, hello.
Yeah. Like, well, can you suggest some and I'll like have a look? Like, I don't know.
Well, and I would say too, one of the worst things that I'm seeing, actually, this is really timely in terms of the referral. So I got a text message over the weekend from an old neighbor of mine that I haven't spoken to in at least 5 years, like no conversation whatsoever. And the text said, Sam, I wanted to introduce you to Jenna, my Cutco knife representative. No. She wants to give you a presentation and I figured that she'll get credit for. And I figured if anybody would be nice enough to listen to, it would be you. And I'm like,
a pyramid scheme?
Yes. But also, the really important thing here is if you're going to make a referral from a buyer to a prospect, right? So I am the buyer, Jenna is the prospect. If you're going to do that, unequivocally, you should always ask for permission first, yeah. Right? Because otherwise you're kind of trapping that prospect. I saw the same thing happen through my email all the time where people just say, you know, Sam, Bill, you guys should meet. Bill's got a great product he wants to show you. But I don't have infinite time to look at products all day, right? So make sure you ask for that person's permission to say, my friend Bill would really love to show you his product. Here's how I think it can help you. I want to make sure to ask first, would you be open to an introduction? And then you can connect the dots. Okay, one last thing I'm going to say on all this. Remember too, that when somebody continuously sends you referrals, right? I think that there's a max of their generosity to where you really do need to send something, a gift, a note, some swag, a box of gratitude, something, right? Because I see this happen a lot where there's a relationship of referrals. People are making tens of thousands of dollars off of this and not a single thing comes through. Be generous. This person is being so nice to you and driving business your way. Be generous back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that absolutely makes sense. Yeah.
You talk about
that's
this
so
forever.
Funny. That's so funny. The story about your old neighbor. That's so funny that I feel that everybody has that experience. Like at some point, whether it's an old neighbor, it's like a girl you went to high school with, like some female in your life somehow gets involved in like multiple
one of these
marketing
MLM. Yeah.
And then messages right. you. And at first you're like, oh, a text from like Anne, my neighbor from 5 years ago. That's so nice. I wonder what she's up to. And then your just heart sinks. You're like, no, Anne, no, how that's could you?
It's really funny because that's it. Her name is Anne. That's
no
hilarious.
Way.
Yeah.
That's great. It's because like that's the archetypal,
that's
like
the neighbor
level marketing.
Oh man, she's going to listen to this now and be like, hello.
And we love you.
On the note of what not to do. So this happened on Sunday morning. It's now Tuesday afternoon. No response from Jenna. No call from Jenna. No response. No, thanks Anne for the introduction. No urgency. No. So yeah, if Jenna ends up calling and hooking me, I'm probably going to have a word with her on salesmanship.
She's too busy being like a hashtag girl boss, like, you know, that whole thing. That's so funny. Oh man. Okay. I want to get into some of those topics that you have touched on, some of those ones that are there behind you that are part of kind of your own sales methodology that you've built over all of these years working in sales in various capacities. Can you walk me through each of those and kind of what they mean?
Yeah, totally. So I think the show me, you know me piece is it really is a methodology throughout your entire sales process. So it really started with a great way for us to stand out in cold email. So if I'm going to reach out to somebody and I'm going to say, you know, leading sales consultancy or something like that about Sam Sales, nobody's going to open that. Why? Because they know it's salesy. But if instead, if I look at someone, let's say a CRO or a VP of sales, I look at their LinkedIn profile, I see something about the company that's happening, and I do something that doesn't quite make sense in the subject line, except to them, I'm going to capture their attention. So for me, like I went to Florida State, I was on a Nickelodeon game show. I love Barefoot Contessa on the Food Network. If you worked any of those things through, right? If you were like FSU plus Legends of the Hidden Temple plus whatever your company name is, you're going to get me to open up your email because you've at least done some homework and you've differentiated yourself. right? But that it only starts there. Then it works through like, what homework do you do on the organization before they join? Do you connect with them on LinkedIn? What about on the second and the third call when you have new attendees that are coming in? Do you do your research on them before? Do you connect the dots of who knows who and how they know each other, right? All of that information is really critical to setting you apart. I will say this too, because I get so many questions on this. How do I interview well? What do I do to stand out as an interviewee for a new sales job? This is the same thing. Do your research. And I'll tell you, like, we're interviewing candidates, VPs of sales, CROs for our clients. Probably 10% of them do the research. It's tons of questions about who we are that is very easily accessible on LinkedIn that they just don't do. I think the other piece of show me, you know me is to really understand what your prospect does. So I've got a lot of senior tenured reps who tell me, I don't need to do my research in advance, right? Like I can wing it. I'm senior. I know how to do this. But when you get on a call and you say like, tell me what's going on with you guys, how we can help you. And that customer says like, you tell me what you know about me first. And the rep's like, I have no idea because I didn't do my research and I thought I could wing it. That's where we really fail, right? Mm-hmm. So having a good understanding of what they do, how you can help them, and also other organizations that you've worked like them and specific customer stories of how you have helped them so they can envision what it would be like to work with you. On the urgent bird piece, urgent bird gets the worm, right? I know it's early bird gets the worm, but for us, it's urgent bird gets the worm. Move your buns is... usually a different word in there, but move it, right? Like you're the first person to get their wins. So show that urgency, show that responsiveness. We also talk a lot about this, about just doing what you said when you said you'd do it, said you would do it. So like Sarah, if you had asked me for materials before our podcast and I said, I'll have it to you by Thursday. Let's say I was waiting on a new picture or something to come in and I knew it was going to come in on Friday. My mantra would be to make sure that on Thursday I would say, I know I owe this to you. I'm going to get it to you tomorrow. I just didn't want you to think I forgot. For you, that would probably knock you out of your chair because most people just send it to you whenever they've got whatever they've got that they said they would send you. Yeah. Instead, just think about that. Send something by the time you said you would send something by, right? But the urgency could make or break your deal. I'll give you kind of a silly example. I posted on our local, in the United States, we've got something called the Nextdoor app. Do you guys have this in Canada?
No.
Oh, it's great. So it's like in your neighborhood and you can post things for sale or help needed or recommendations or whatever. And so I posted and I said, hey, I was like, you guys, high schoolers are on spring break this week. If anybody wants to come and mulch our giant yard, here's what we're willing to pay. You guys go get the mulch and come do it. Urgent bird gets the worm. First person to respond is going to get the business. I still get texts about it. And it was in March. And I'm like, hello.
Look, if I hadn't mulched by now, I'd be in trouble.
Yeah. Exactly. But even last night, I was talking to a prospect who said, you know, can you get us a proposal for something? And I said, sure, I'll have it to you tomorrow. But I did it last night. That urgency really sets you apart, right? Just shows responsiveness. It shows that person is a priority. And I think if you even weave these two pieces into your sales game, it'll set you so far ahead of the competition because I promise you the majority of sales reps don't display urgency and they don't do their research in advance.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And now that you've kind of given those couple of examples, I'm thinking of all these examples from my own life where I see those people that are urgent. And I love that display of urgency. And I'm thinking about it even in like social kind of settings. Like, I can't remember who it is. I think it might be like my boyfriend or his brother-in-law or something, but at a family house where somebody goes like, I guess it's time to clean up. The like first person that jumps up and goes like, I'll take the plates. You're always like, that's a good kid. I like that one, you know?
That's exactly right. Yeah. Good character too.
Exactly. It just shows that they're like, let me hop to it. I'll do it right now. And even if it's something where then someone goes, oh, no, don't worry about it. We'll get back to that later. But the fact that you've shown yourself as like, I'll take the initiative. I'll do it first. I'm here. I'm ready. That's like, it's so appealing. As you said, it shows great character. It like makes that person really appealing. And the same translates to sales. Well, sales is a human connection. So most of these things are transferable to any aspect of your life.
Well, and I think when we talk to a lot of executives, right, we say, tell us about your great experiences with sales reps. And you know what they say? I've got one or two. I've got one or two sales reps that have been exceptional in my career that have sold to us that I would buy from anywhere, right? And I'm lucky enough to get those accolades from a lot of our clients. Like I would buy from you wherever you go. But I think what you want to think about is that I know this sounds so negative, but the great majority of sales is kind of just an unknown hodgepodge of like, I hope I'm doing it right, but I'm not really sure. There really are some true elite salespeople out there who understand how to do it. So Show Me You Know Me and Urgency really is all about the idea of being different, right? If you do your research, if you show that urgency, people are going to be like, well, not that's pleasantly weird, right? And they're going to be excited about it. And then they're going to be like, well, this is the standard you hold yourself to. This is the bar you hold yourself to. And by the way, if you hold yourself to this bar with me, I probably have other people that would love to meet you. And I find that often that people will just refer because they're like, oh my God, a salesperson who knows how to do their job really well. Like, I want everybody to know who this person is.
Yeah. To have that positive experience. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Very totally. Interesting. Okay. So you've got your, the urgency, there's the show me, you know me, and then you've got the question behind the question.
Oh, my favorite. Well, I guess my third favorite. Okay. So my first job was at Walt Disney World. I worked at Typhoon Lagoon in Orlando, Florida as a lifeguard. I was 16 years old, very excited to have this job. But here's the thing. The number one thing that they teach you when you get there, amongst other things, is what is their most popular question? And what I love about this is that this is where sales reps are. We always get the good sales reps and the bad sales reps that respond to this. But the number one question that they get is, what time is the 3 o'clock parade? Well, it's a 3 o'clock, right? So what you get is about 90-95% of sales reps are like, it's a 3 o'clock. Does that answer your question? And they're like, okay, thanks. Mm-hmm. Then you've got the 5-10%, right? Who are like the former Disney trainees who think about what is the question behind the question? What time is the 3 o'clock parade is not the actual question, right? So as a cast member, as we're called, what you're supposed to do is look at the situation you've got in front of you. Do we have a family? Are they short? Are they tall? Somebody in a wheelchair? Are their kids are trying to get to Space Mountain? What are they trying to do, right? And say, well, it's a 3 o'clock and I've got some things to share with you, but tell me a little bit more about why you're asking. And then you get the unpacking of what they're really asking. Well, you know, we've been trying to get to Thunder Mountain all day and we haven't been able to do this. So now you've got the real information behind that question and you can be like, great, you want to be positioned over here and then you can hightail it to Thunder Mountain, whatever it is. Same thing with sales. So what I hear most often is number one, I hear people ask questions, right? So like, hey, Sam, this is all great. Do you have an app that we can integrate with? And what the rep will say is, we do. Does that answer your question? And the person's going to be like, uh-huh. And then they'll be like, great. And then they'll go back to feature dumping in their demo or whatever. Mm. But if instead we said, we do have an app, and I have some things to tell you about that. But first, tell me a little bit about why you're asking. What you're going to get is either how critical or just nice to have an app is, right? Mm. You might get that prospect who's like, thank God, we don't have an app right now. The incumbent doesn't have one. It's such a challenge. Here's what it costs our sales team, et cetera. Unpack, unpack, unpack. And you're going to be like, fantastic. Like, now I know that our app and the magic of it is going to be a critical selling point to you. Or you might get someone who's like, it's a real nice to have. Everybody keeps touting how great their app is, but we don't really care. I was just curious. And you can be like, okay, well, I'm just going to skip over the app then and not talk to you about this, right? So what is the true question? The other thing is just to think about the question behind the statement. And what I mean by that too is that I hear in a lot of calls where our clients will share with us, they'll be like, oh, this would be great. We've got a massive event coming up in September. This would be perfect for that. And then the rep will be like, yeah, anyway, back to my feature dumping. And you're like, wait, what's the event? Ask for more, right? So like, what's the question we should be asking behind the comment that we get or the information we get from our clients? There is so much that we can do by asking questions and by being great active listeners. Can you tell I'm excited about this, Sarah?
I can. And it makes me excited. Honestly, I'm sitting here and I'm like, can I reach a pen? Because I need to write that particular piece down. And actually was looking and I was like, I think I can't reach it without doing a big distracting move. But honestly, I really like that because there does seem to be a bit of a movement in various sales methodologies right now of like getting back towards good question asking and not feature dumping. But there's not a lot of content on how to actually do that effectively. And so this is really great for that because I want to teach my reps to do that kind of thing, but I don't exactly know how other than to just say like, be curious, ask questions. Yeah. And they're like, I'm trying. I don't know how, like, I don't know how to take it into a question. How do you pivot from one thing into a question? And that was, that's how. So,
okay. So think about this. Yeah, no, like we get this all the time. So number one, for people who just aren't great question askers, like my fiance used to be this way. He was like, well, I just expect that you're just going to tell me all the things. And I'm like, no, ask me how
I want you to ask me so that I can tell you.
Right. Exactly. It's it's crazy, but just do it. Yeah. And then the other thing is we've got from a millennial perspective, millennials and Gen Z, Gen Y, we all communicate in very different ways. But millennials, which are our growing sales forces full of millennials, they talk at each other. So the idea of asking questions is like, wait, what? So here's a good thing to think about. Like you can practice this in your home life, especially if you're not a good question asker. I promise you doing this with your husband, partner, spouse, girlfriend, friend, whatever, will stun them. So just be like, hey, how was your day? And then listen to whatever they tell you about their day, which if you're listening to me, it's going to be 45 minutes long. But when you hear the end of that, pick something up that you heard, right? Or if I'm like, oh my gosh, it was so busy, I'm exhausted. Just say, why was it so busy? Why was today exceptionally busy compared to yesterday? And I promise you, you will get this like sideways dog, you know, confused look, pleasantly surprised, yeah, right? That you're asking these questions, but it's amazing. Just ask a second question, listen to the answer you get and ask something on that. And Sarah, you're giving me a good idea. I think my team needs to role play on this and record it of how to ask good questions. Yeah. Maybe that would be useful to people.
Totally. Definitely put that out as a piece of content. I'd love to see that. I think that is a really big struggle that a lot of reps have, because you fear that you're being too nosy or that you're being like invasive, and that the prospect is not going to want to answer like this consecutive, yeah, you know, litany of questions. But there's obviously, if you're truly listening and then responding to something that they have said and asking another question, it's completely different from you just having a pre-prepared list of questions and asking them, because then you're just asking at them. It's still not engaging them in that conversation.
Totally. And I'm such a naturally curious person. My good girlfriend, Robin, warns new friends. Like when she introduces me to her friends, she's like, just hang on. Like Sam is going to ask you a firing range of questions. Do not be alarmed. She is genuinely interested, but I will ask, like I ask a ton of questions, right? Because I am genuinely interested, but there is a difference exactly to what you said, to asking questions based on what you hear versus like, what is your favorite color? And what is your favorite book? And where did you grow up? Right? Because that's just like, boom, boom, boom. And you're like, oh my God, I'm being like firing range of questions. Yeah. But the act of listening is huge. And frankly, people love to talk about themselves, right? They love to give information. They love to tell their own stories. And if they don't, you're going to ask a question. They'll give you an answer, probably that's short. You can come up with an active listening question after that. And if it's short again, or if they're like, yeah, then you're going to be like, okay. And then read the room and know that they really don't want to talk about themselves. They just kind of want to cut to the chase. And that's okay too. You'll have plenty of prospects like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other piece I want to highlight, because you did it so well, is the fact that the question is an open-ended one. It's not a yes or no question. Like your follow-up question to the crazy busy day is, what made it so busy? Why was it so, yeah, busy? Tell me, like that kind of thing, rather than like, oh, was it busier than yesterday? Or is tomorrow, yes, going to be busy? You know, because then that's exactly, that's exactly it. My refs will be like, I'm going to ask a question, and then it's a yes or no question. And if I'm role-playing, I'm like, nope.
Yeah. Well, and I think one good thing to know too is on the counter, if you are the person that's answering these questions, particularly as we get back to socialization, networking, things like that, I think we're all going to have to kind of learn how to people again anyway. But if you are on the receiving end of these questions and you find yourself being like, no, yes, good, okay, give me something, right? Like help me out here. Help me have a conversation, especially if I'm stuck next to you at like a table at a wedding or something, like, come on, right? So think about that for yourself. Are you the one worded answer, right? Or are you also the yes or no question asker? And if you're both, well, then call me and I'll help you out.
Yeah. You need some Sam in your life to deal with that problem. Okay. There's one more, sort of tenet to your sales methodology, which is the basic sales manners. And I think probably a lot of people forget those. So will you touch on those as well?
Yeah, I think like, oh my gosh, there's just so much lost from a manners perspective, right? Of like, and I think that this is, again, an easy way to set yourself apart. Just being thoughtful through these processes, not being too pushy, not having done show me, you know me, thinking about how to adhere to the person's calendar versus sending them your own convenience. Like there's so much there from a manners perspective. But I would say like, if you want to implement one that's really easy, is again, just back to the idea of the thank you note. And I know you're probably like, oh my God, the thank you note again. But hear me out. If you have a really important demo, let's say you've had a bunch of discovery calls and you're kind of working through a process, and then you finally get to the place where someone's going to say, okay, you invite your people, I'm going to invite my people, we're going to get this all together, we're going to demo the technology, we're going to talk about how we can implement, let's do that. You know those demos I'm talking about, the ones where you lose sleep the night before, you're so excited, it's like Christmas morning. When you're done with that demo, think about this. Number one, send a thank you note to the entire team that only has gratitude. What exceptional manners you'll display by just saying, team, What a pleasure it was to meet you. Great to uncover all the things that we talked about today. I was so excited to have our team join as well. We're going to get everything that we promised you. Just simply wanted to say thanks again for sharing some of your time with us. Unbelievable move just to say thank you, not ask for anything, et cetera. And then if appropriate, right, think about again, handwritten thank you notes just for getting the time. And I would say, and again, you can ask for a mailing address, really simple. Yes, your hand is going to cramp. Yes, you have to go buy thank you notes. Please don't make them with your Sam sales stationery or whatever the company is you work for. Just go to Target and buy some like Kate Spade or something. It's going to cost you 10 bucks for the love of God. Anyway, the other thing to think about with those manners and those thank you notes is when you lose the deal. Sales is a long game, right? We're not just playing for 2 years and we're going to cut out to go be dentists or whatever. We're probably in this for the long haul. And so think about the way that your attitude and your character can make all the impact and the difference now. So if you lose a deal, send a handwritten thank you note to the team that evaluated you. Probably the most frequent response I get is like, I lost the deal. What am I thanking them for? And I'm like, hello, you got to participate. That's what you're thanking them for. So Sarah, if you guys were evaluating hiring us and we lost the deal, you went with somebody else, you hired John Barrows, but you hired somebody else instead. And then you came to, and I wrote you a note and said, Sarah, I'm so grateful to have been considered. Thank you for even involving us. It was great to meet your team. I wish you all the luck with John. He's amazing. You'll do great. But think about this. Like, you would be like, what? The what, right? And the odds are that the next time you have a need or when you change jobs, you're going to be like, that girl was awesome. I'm going to call her, right? Yep. So tiny little ways we can make manners really stick out and just, again, differentiate ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Yeah. Honestly, I feel like I could just pick your brain about this all day. This has been incredible. I'm like, just, I have to show my whole team as soon as this podcast episode is published so that they can all learn from you. Yeah. Seriously, thank you so much for joining us on this episode. It's been really, really a pleasure to get to interview you and learn from you.
Thanks. What a blast. Thank you so much for inviting me to do it.
Yeah, of course. If people want to learn more from you, we mentioned at the beginning that they can get in touch with you via LinkedIn. Is that the best way for people to learn from you?
Yeah, pop on a LinkedIn. And then if you go to samsalesconsulting.com, we have a really great newsletter. Our open rate is through the roof. So hopefully you'll find a great value in it as well. We've got Sam Shorts, tons of videos and tons of content on there for you as well. So feel free to come and give us a follow there too and join the group.
Awesome. Thank you so much again, Sam. And thank you all for watching another episode of the Predictable Revenue Podcast.